God is good.
Hallelujah.
God is good. Chapter 5, Revelation, chapter 5. I saw on the right of the one sitting on the throne a scroll having been written within and on the back. So it's like an envelope. These seven seals are the present, the past, and the future. So from the time that Jesus died, and then by the end of the century, about 96 A.D., 100 years from his birth, he then had this revelation from God, his Father, about himself. So this is the revelation of God about Jesus. So it's about Jesus, but it's not a biography. Nevertheless, it's the Father's testimony about Jesus. And so it's going to explain the next 3,000 years of world history. We've already lived through 2,000 years, even more. So we've already made it this far from the time that Jesus entered into the world, his first coming, which we call Christmas, but it's the first coming, Christ's Mass, that's the way the Catholics interpret it, but the Mass is not in the Scripture. So the fact that they celebrate is just a way of controlling people. So that revelation, Jesus is already dead, he's already in heaven, and he's changed his vesture, he's changed his clothing. He's now white bearded after his death at 33. He's changed everything so that he's the Ancient of Days in heaven. And because he's the Lord of the church, he's actually going through everything and measuring everything according to what is present, according to what is past, and according to what is future. Past, present, future. The past is all about the gospel. And so what he's going to do is pick up the Old Testament story before the gospel and then pick up Jesus' ministry after the gospel has been preached. And you remember last time I shared that he didn't begin with conscience. Every man has a conscience, knowing right and wrong. So there's no such person on earth that can say, I didn't know there was a right and wrong. Everybody knows there's a right and wrong. He didn't begin with that, and that would be true of all men, whatever their religion or lack of religion. That people have freedom. Everybody gets to express, according to their conscience, the kind of worship they want. They're Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Jewish, Christian, whatever they want. And so everybody's free. Nobody can tie a person down, even though they do it all the time. Because it was given into the hands of the kings, you choose for us. So the kings chose, and they became Lord of the church. So that was evil. That was wicked. Because now Jesus is not the head of his church. Kings pretend like, I want my government on earth not to have any frictions in it, not to have any problems with people being friendly and getting along with their neighbor. The only problem is it's never worked. No king ever has produced peace on earth. No king ever has produced the future. But the future is, there'll be it'll be that way. This is when the day of the Lord comes, and Jesus actually restores what the Father intended when he created the world in the first place, 6,000 years ago. I'm certain of those dates. Almost nobody would agree with me, but I'm right, they're wrong. Because all the founding fathers of the church all believed that there's only 7,000 years to world history, time's up, and then eternity begins. So that's what I'll be discussing in this year, about how all those events are all ordered, and I know them. I know all those events, when which happens, and then how that happens, and so on. So whatever is revealed here in the book of Revelation, it actually picks up everything in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and all the prophets, and so on and so forth, including the Psalms. And it has all the details that you want to know about the future. And the future has not yet been revealed. We read that in Thessalonians. I believe that's the first chapter I read, to say, do not be deceived. This is not peace on earth, goodwill toward men. This is not. So the end can't come unless the wicked first has his day in court. Has to have the same amount of days Jesus had. So Jesus failed in his ministry. It killed him. So now this other guy, the Antichrist, the beast, he's now going to sit in the temple and say, I'm him. But between now and then, I want you to know, there's a lot going on. A lot going on. I shared last time that what's going on is God is dividing his church. He's dividing Christians from Christians, the lukewarm from the hot, the wheat from the chaff. I could go on and on and on and on, because all the parables are related to the kingdom. So he didn't begin with conscience equal to everybody. He didn't begin with the law of Moses, just the Jews have that idea. But he skipped both of those because they're not important. Why? Because nothing is made perfect by the law. So you can have a law, but you and I will fail it. Mm-hmm. You can have any law you want. Just make up a law, people will fail it. So I want you to remember that, Judah, even though you're getting to the age of making up your own laws, and you'll fail. You will absolutely fail that law. As noble as your views are, I'm going to be, it's a silly thing to say, because you can't even live up to your own law, let alone God's law. God wants everyone to be sinful, to be sinful. He wants everyone to be sinful, to be sinful. So whether it's conscience or whether it's the Jewish law, those are both out. Those are both out. They didn't work. They didn't produce peace on earth, goodwill to men. But he's coming back a second time. That's the first time. First time he preached that and they killed him. And the second time he's coming back to finish the whole thing off and introduce the original picture that God had for the earth. It'll be exactly the way God intended it. So all the wicked will be wicked and the righteous will be righteous. And we'll be upstairs with Jesus, as the saints, the first fruits of the first fruits, which Jesus is the first fruits, and we're the first fruits of the first fruits. In other words, he's the vine, we're the branch in his vine. So we'll bear fruit because he bears fruit through us. And so it's really a piece of cake being a Christian. Amen. Because there's nothing you do. We just kind of rest. We just kind of be patient. And just wait for God to fulfill all of his promises. And the last one that he will fulfill, will all the wicked are the enemies of the gospel, they'll be under our feet. That'll be amazing. Everybody that's ever harmed us, Willis, they'll be right there under our foot. And they'll be our footstool. That we sit on the throne, and then we have this footstool right underneath us. And we walk on their necks, I mean, because we want them to know, hey, you guys did wrong. You guys did wrong. Well, you sinned too, they'll say. Yeah, we did sin, but we said we were sorry, and we also accepted Jesus' mercy.
Amen.
You didn't. And that made us righteous in God's sight. That made us righteous in God's sight.
Thank you, Jesus.
So, even though no law can bring us to the place we're going, heaven, we'll be there anyway. We're going to be there anyway because the good work God began, He'll surely complete it.
Amen.
He surely will complete it. I like it where all the focus is off of me and on to Him.
Amen.
I don't know why.
Hallelujah.
I don't know why. I don't know. That's really good news. Because everything He does is perfect.
Amen.
Everything I do is not.
Amen.
Everything I do is not perfect. Even man at his best state, altogether nothing, zero, vanity. Vanity. So it's kind of like no contest. Don't even go to court. Don't even go. Don't even go. Because you're going to get judged by all the other books that He's looking at, the law books. Don't go there. Jesus already fulfilled those. Just tell God, hey, God, could you please look at the Lamb's Book of Life? I think I'm in there. I'm one of your saints. Be saint. Saint. Wow. Do you think of yourself as a saint? Well, you are.
Amen.
What? Because you just believed in Jesus.
Amen.
I just read the Bible. And I don't even know what it all says, but I don't really care. I believe it, everything. Whatever is written in there, I believe it.
Amen.
So if He says an axe handle can rise up from the bottom of the lake and float, it's stupid to me, but I'm believing it because it's in the Bible. So whatever God has in the Bible, I don't care how ridiculous it is, I believe it. What? Why? Why? I don't know why, but faith cometh by hearing. I heard it, and I believe that. Even though I don't practice it, even though I don't agree with all of it, understand it all, and so on, I believe in it. And God counts that as righteous. So now we're righteous, not by anything we did. I don't control you, you don't control me, and that's bad news. Because if I controlled you, I'd have a lot of power. But I don't even know what I'm doing. So it's good for me not to have any power. Have the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I only have the holy side of that power.
Amen.
Tell the truth. Just tell people the truth. Let the rest be up to God. Let God work it out. How many know that when Jesus comes back, you'll be in front line? You will be. You'll be in the front line. Front line.
It'll be a big front line.
It'd be a big front line.
Unless you come in late.
Hey, praise God. Man, you oh man, what a intro you
still
missed.
Got your front lines in, right?
You missed a great intro. It's great.
But you're in the front line.
No. But you can get tapes later.
We need to hear it twice.
Yeah. Yeah. So Jesus, this is the Father's revelation of Jesus in the book of Revelation, chapter 5. It's the Father's revelation of Jesus. It's not the Father about the Father. It's the Father about the Son who reflects the Father. And we reflect the Son who reflects the Father. And Jesus does it all. Jesus does it all. So there's no effort on our part. There's no work on our part. There's not us striving and trying. I'm unconditionally loved by God for doing nothing, for absolutely doing nothing. All I did was I read the Word. Faith cometh by hearing. I read the Word, and now I'm a believer, and I don't even know what I was reading. I don't even know all the stuff I'm reading. I can read some of the Old Testament prophets, and they just blow me away. It's like, well, who's that? Well, when did that take place? I don't get that. So I can read it and then reread it and then, you know, on the 50th time maybe, Oh, that's it. And that's what I do right now. I read it and read it and read it. I got it. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. But when I read it, I didn't understand it, but I believed it. I believed anything that God says is truth, and it sets me free. And I don't believe any other book. I don't believe any other book. No other book. I don't care if it's about Jesus. I don't believe it. I don't trust any minister. I don't trust anyone but Jesus. He's my only. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none on earth that I desire beside thee. So he's my only pal. He's my only friend. He's my only, beloved. He's the only one. And so I don't trust other people. But anyway, this thing about Jesus, he is the Savior. Everybody knows him as Savior. Chair 4. But hardly anyone knows him as Lord, and lords tell you what to do. They don't forgive you for not doing it. They do because he's Savior. But they don't because he's Lord. Lords just tell you what to do. And because he tells you what to do, it works. It works. Amen. Yahoo! Yeah. Blessing. It's a blessing. So the picture of Jesus he wants to give you is chair 4, 5, and 6. How many know what 4 is? What's 4? Yeah, you are regenerated. You have a new life based totally on
faith.
And not based on works. You don't do works before, you don't do works after. You don't even do any works. You've never done any works, and you never will do any works. Jesus is the only one that doeth anything. And he said, he didn't even do what he doeth. He said, the Father that dwells in me doeth the works. Ah! So, only God is the only one that doeth. Now, as Son of God, he can do anything he wants. But as Son of Man, he can only do what his assignment is. He has an assignment to be Savior. So he came down and saved us. Now, the Father wants to reveal not just his Lord, but his bridegroom. 5 and 6. Because the only people he's coming back for is 6. You have to know, and no sin. You can't have any sin in you. Well, how could you accomplish that if everything you do is sin apart from him?
All over to Jesus.
You'd have to just believe that the good work he began in you, he will surely complete, and he can't lie and say, oh, I started out, but I just got mad at you one day, and that was it. No, he'll never do that. If he starts something, he has to finish it. He can't start it in chair 4 and not finish it in chair 5 and 6 if you cooperate, meaning you have to agree not to do anything. This is one of the things you have to agree to, is he does everything. So he's the one points out your sin, not so that you'll do anything. Don't feel guilty. Don't be, do your beads. Don't do anything. Just simply let God work it out. He just pointed it out to you so you'd say, yeah, I don't disagree with that. Just go ahead and fix that. I don't even know how you do it. Anyway, after it's done, you get all the credit. Because everybody is saved not by any work that you did, by all the works that Jesus did for you, in you, and then through you to others. You get all the credit for that. But the latter one will not save you. You can be as loving as you want to your neighbor. That's just the fulfillment of the law. But that too is up to God. So let Jesus do it.
Hallelujah.
Now, what does that do to you? Well, it makes you sleep at night.
Amen.
Even though this world is so full of troubles, full of, dangers. And if you think, I think you think this, but if you think that the troubles in the world are Black Lives Matter or Al-Qaeda or homosexuality or whatever, you're wrong. Your enemy is not any of those things. It's the devil himself.
That's right.
He's the one that hates you. He hates you. And so he's doing all kinds of things. So his demonic powers,
right.
His demonic powers scare you. Now, I'm going to tell you something about the devil, because this is personal. Way back when I was pagan, arrogant, very arrogant, proud, and I could do anything, and, you know, I was just awesome in my own eyes. But I knew it was all bluff. I never for once believed that anything I wanted to do, I was capable of. I didn't believe that. I just bluffed. I totally bluffed. So that power of God working through me. So one day, nobody was aware of this, just me. One day, God frightened me to death. God, not somebody else. God, through his law, so scared me that I knew that there was evil in the world, which the communists didn't do, or the Pope didn't do, or the, you know, Jewish cabal didn't do, or I knew it was not a people thing. There was demonic activity in the world that I knew I couldn't conquer. Well, I could never conquer anything, but I knew all my arrogance, all my bravado, all my, you know, natural joy drained out of me. And I saw the end of the world, and I can't explain what I just said. I can just say I did. I saw the elements burning. I saw everything, you know, I don't even know whether I got those ideas. I'm probably in the Bible, but I don't know whether I got them. But I just knew at nightmares I used to wake up screaming, because I was not a thinking of, you know, UFOs or something. I was just thinking of not people. Just not a people thing. And I was arrogant. I was the top. I was just going on and so on and so forth. But this so scared me long before I became a Christian. I was not a Christian at that point. But I began to fear God and not a Christian. I just began to fear him, that he knew something that I didn't know. He knew stuff about me, that a demonic age is coming. That I will build my church, but the gates of hell will not prevail against everything else in the world, because it will all fall to the demonic power. I don't know if you just understood what I said. In other words, he said, I will build the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against her. Right. So she. But it prevails against everything else in the world. Everything, without exception. Right. It will, this is demonic. This is not just human. Right. You know, it's not magic and, you know, all that sleight of hand stuff. This is the real thing. I don't know how I know that, but I knew that. And it scared me, you know. People see the living bejeebies or something. It scared me fully that I knew that I didn't know about anything. I knew I was ignorant that day with all my greatness and glory and all the accomplishments I was going to make. I'm not going to make any of them. It scared me. And it lasted even up until our daughter, Kara, the oldest one, was about a one and a half, somewhere in there. And I remember that day, for the first time in my life, I faced fear. Had nothing to do with Jesus. Had nothing to do with Jesus. Had nothing to do with where I was preaching. There's no performance here. This was just, it just hit me. You don't know anything about anything. And you're dealing with a world that you don't know anything about. And it's not nothing that you think. I think all Yale did and all, you know, college did and so on. It had nothing to do with all that. It had to do with something demonic, deep, that scares you completely. Well, I lived with that, and I wrestled through all of that. Not looking for Jesus. I did not want Jesus. I knew I don't trust Jesus. At all. He cannot conquer that. I mean, of course he can, but I didn't know that. I just feel I'm not turning to Jesus. I'm not becoming a Christian because of my fear. I'm just scared. So I lived that way for years. And I didn't know how to conquer it. I'd be kind of walking along like this, and all of a sudden I'd be down in a pit, and it's a slimy pit, and I couldn't get out. And then I'd cry out to God or whoever I cried out to. I don't know who I cried out to, but I cried out. And then all of a sudden I'd be on top again. Huh. What was I worried about yesterday or the day before or whatever? What was that? What was that? And then I'd be smooth, riding along. Hey, just a new day, sun shining. Oh, I have nothing to worry about. I'd be down in a pit again. I don't even know how I got there again. All of a sudden. And so I realized my whole life was being built that way, but I never could picture it. This is just my own testimony. But it frightened me so much that I realized I'm up against something and I don't even know what it is or who it is or how it is. But I still didn't want God. I wasn't interested in God. You know, he is feeble to me. You know, he couldn't work it out. If I clung to him, I would not have any confidence in that. But eventually I became a Christian. And when I did, all that completely left, gone. Zero. No more. I was not, and I knew it, I'll never be afraid again. I will never be in bondage again. And I knew it. I knew inside of me, even though I'm doing this pit thing and traveling along and then another pit and so on, I don't know how I got in. I don't know how I got out. I just knew life is risky or scary or whatever, and you don't ever know when this thing is going to get you or, you know, and so on. Now, that's just my own story. But I think that introduced me to Jesus. I don't think I'd even looked into Christianity were it not for that. Because being a Westerner, I don't believe Buddha and all that kind of stuff, so I'll go for something Jesus thing. But so I was a minister, and I wanted to be a Christian, but not wanting. I just like, that's the only thing I know about. And since I better look into that, I better look into that because I had a good brain and I look into that. But I hope I don't get in one of those pits again thing because I don't know when they ever come up. Now, has anyone else ever here experienced stupid stuff like I did? Nightmares, things happen. It's like a little kid scared all the time and they don't like to be in bed and... Ah, Dad, come in here, you know. And you know, as a parent, I'm here, everything's going to be all right. And they feel good until you try to move away. And they grab onto you. They're scared to death. And I don't know how little kids, but every little kid experiences that. They know just something is bad. Something is evil. And now I know, because I know Jesus, I know that I want to be good from now on, voluntarily, happily. Nobody can, encourage me or make me do good. I want to. I don't want to be anything bad in my life at all. How'd that happen? It's just reading it. I read it. I never read it to become a Christian. I just read it. And as I read it, it captured me. And one day I was a Christian. And I knew it. I knew from now on, never again. Never again. This was like stages, but each one set me free. So I don't have a life now. I don't have anyone except Jesus. And I am in love with him. Does that mean my behavior has changed? No. I don't even know about my behavior. What I do know is if it's going to be done, Jesus is going to do it. That I knew. Do it, Jesus. Because I can't rescue you from this situation. And I believe worldly people, I was worldly. I believe worldly people have that experience like I had. It's supernatural. I don't know how it came on me. Because I wasn't mystical. I wasn't any of that stuff. I didn't believe in any of that. I'm scientific and all that stuff. But this, all of a sudden, I don't believe in any of that. Now I'm worried about the world. And I'm worried about my soul. I never worried about my soul until that moment. Okay, I don't know why I shared that, but that's the truth. That's how I became a Christian. Without that fear, I would never, because I didn't fear anything. It's like the Bible says, this man neither feared God nor man. I didn't fear anybody. I didn't care. And I didn't trust in any of those, God or man. I didn't trust any of them. But the fear was, I couldn't explain it, even to myself. I don't know how I go out down in those pits and I'm frozen. I'd be driving along and all of a sudden fear would come over me and I'd go back home and crouch down in the corner of the bedroom till Peggy come home, because I had a lot of faith in Peggy to protect me. No, I never shared with her. She never knew about it. Nobody ever knew about it because it's just a secret. It's a secret. I say now, because of Scripture, everyone feels guilty about their sins. I don't know. I sinned all the time, and I didn't feel guilty. But all of a sudden, I did. I can't explain it. But I did. I knew there's a consequence to what you're doing. You're so cavalier. You're so way proud over people wherever you go. And you know nothing. And I knew that. And I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know how to deal with it because I don't have a religion. I didn't have morals. I didn't have religion. Nothing. So that's the deal. Now God is trying to explain to the world, and I'm going to tell you this. He's trying to explain that in the end, His wrath will fall upon the wicked with ferociousness. I just want you to know that. And there's nothing you can do. You don't have. It says the rocks try to hide. You know, they try to find a rock that they can cling to or something. The people are not aware of a supernatural demonic world that's out there. I don't care what the words you use. There's just something out there that's scary that you don't have any power over. Now, has anyone here ever experienced that, or am I the only weird one? You did, Alex? Yeah, you did? Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, and I'm going to prove it to you this year, not in this verse, but in another verse later. And I'll read you out of the Scripture, out of the Old Testament, and out of the New Testament. I'll read you, this is not human. This is more than human, whatever that is. It's more than human. And it's demonic. It's devilish. And the devil has always hated God ever since he first rebelled. He just decided, one third of the angels went with him, just to make this plan. He became jealous of you and I being dirt people made out of dirt. He might have. They're not made out of dirt. Angels are. Do you know that? Angels are not made out of dirt. And so they're not dirt people. And so maybe he got jealous of that. Why is Jim going to come along? And he's so swaggering, so arrogant, so confident, blah, blah. Why can he marry Jesus just because of this faith thing? I don't know what make him mad, but I believe the devil got mad and others agreed. Third of the angels. Man, that's a big group to lose, one third of the angels. So I believe the world that we're coming to is already filled with this scared. I don't know where it came from. I know every little kid has it. Every little kid is everyone. I had the same thing with all the four kids. They just clung to you. And it took me like forever to figure out how to roll out. They don't realize I'm getting out of the bed. And so on. It's 45 minutes sometimes, you know. Because they, you know, you are my security. You know, I don't want you to leave. As long as you're here. I'm okay. And so kids are more into, and when they grow up, they're arrogant, but when they're little kids, they don't know anything. They don't know how dangerous this world is. That's why I hate it when I see people divorce or see people doing things that I know are not addictive and so on. I pray for them because it's like, wow, they have no idea what I saw. And I can't explain it. Not to anybody. How could you explain it except somebody who's already experienced it? But if people experience that, you'll realize this scary world of the devil and sin and, you know, it's called law of sin and death. That scary world, you sin, you die. Period. There's no thing. So God was explaining the Lord Jesus, not just as Savior. He wanted to be beyond that, chair 4. Born of the Spirit, now filled with the Spirit every day, and now, then, not only that, what else? Led of the Spirit. If you're led of the Spirit, you know, I didn't do that. I did not do that. You're just led of the Spirit. And it's powerful. So being led of the Spirit, yeah, we had them get 5 chairs for you guys. Yeah. So God is good. Now, let's look at chapter 5. I just told you what's going to happen. Past, present, and future. He's going to explain the past. You know everything when he's done. He'll explain everything. He'll explain the past, explain the present, what he's doing right now, which is dividing his church from his church. And then to explain the future. Everything that's going to happen between now and the new heaven and the new earth, or a cleansed earth from fire. Fire will cleanse the earth. So, this is it. Okay. Chapter 5, Revelation. And I saw on the right hand of the one sitting on the throne a scroll. This is the Father. Having been written within and on the back. So it's just like a book we would make. Having been sealed with 7 seals. Now those are not the fish-like seals. These are seals like you seal an envelope. They're a seal on the outside, and your address is on them. That's how it gets to you. And that's the on the outside. But on the inside are all the secrets of God, which this world cannot know. Nothing that I'm going to share throughout the whole Bible, nothing I'm going to share on this book of Revelation, which is the only book Jesus wrote, nothing in there is just like anything in this world. Everything in here is totally strange to you. Everything. For example, when he comes back and destroys the Antichrist, the one I was just talking to about, and all that system, Jesus is going to have us meet us up in the air. That is so weird. I've never lived up in the air, and I can't imagine how anyone can live up in the air. I mean, I'm not thinking on that. Just not. I just believe him. If he says it's going to be like that, you're going to be caught up with living up in the air. You're going to be caught. You're going to live with Jesus, and you never come back. It says in there, and you never return. You never return. So that's your permanent place. Not permanent, because you'll later be in heaven, highest heaven. But right now you're in lowest heaven, the lower heaven, when he comes back, and you'll be ruling over the earth, and you'll be ruling the 12 tribes of Israel, who will be, they're not like this now, they will be preeminent on the earth. They will be the rulers of the earth, but they'll do everything we tell them. Because God the Father speaks to God the Son, who then we follow, and then we rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. So it's not really hard. We just do what Jesus does, and Jesus just does what the Father does. And so it's easy. So God the Father has figured out how to rule the world, and it's exactly the way he originally made the heaven and earth. When he had the first earth that died by water and perished. Now that earth is still run contrary to God. Everything is contrary to God. So he wrote the word contrary to your contrary. This word kills you. This word will kill all your sin. If you have any sin in your life, and all of us do, it'll attack you so people don't read it. The reason Christians don't read the word is because they don't want to be convicted. So if they say an excuse, well, I didn't read it today because I didn't understand it. I didn't read it today because I didn't have a rhema. I didn't read it today. You know, they have all these excuses why they don't want to read it. They don't want to read it because they hate God's law, because it condemns all their goodness. I'm going to say what I just said. Forget the badness. The badness is obvious, but I'm all bad. But the goodness is that's where people think they're better than somebody else. I did what God wanted. No, you didn't. Nobody ever did that. There's nobody on earth ever did that. Nobody was commended in the Old Testament. Oh, you really, really good, did good there. No, because all has to be done by Jesus. So now we're Christians, and so we believe Jesus does everything. And I don't believe I do anything. And so if something good happens, I don't give myself the credit, which I would have in my previous arrogant world. I would have given myself the credit because I'm the only God I knew. I'm God. I'm awesome. Is there anybody here that's ever felt that? Everybody does. Yes. Because that's just the little Nimrod that's in you, the guy who doesn't want to give God the glory, so he's a rebel. The Mered, M-E-R-E-D, on his end, Nimrod, the Mered on the end is rebel. It just means rebel. And it's used all the time in the scripture, rebel. It's the same word. So it's Mered, M-E-R-E-D. That's it. And the wild side of that is that when you do that, you're being natural. You're just being natural. You're just doing what comes naturally. And you can call that you're better than other people because you obeyed your conscience or something, but you still go to hell. Meaning, you're not going to heaven because of your goodness. You're going to heaven because God is gracious and he wants to do everything for you. He doesn't want you to do a lick of work. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So he's trading rest for labor. He wants you to not do anything because you're not perfect like he is, and then he wants to do everything for you so that you get all the credit that he should have gotten just for nothing, believing. In other words, you don't believe by your behavior, oh, now I'm behaving better. No, you're not. Just whatever you do has a nasty motive to it. So you're not. I mean, I'm just telling you what God said. So all have sinned and fallen glory. Nobody has arrived at perfection. Nobody on earth will ever be perfect. With God, without God, you're never going to be perfect. The only perfect you can be, and he calls this perfect, is if you believe that he is good. That instead of you paying the debt that you owed him for sinning, he decided he'd pay the debt for you and then give you a free gift and not charge you anything. Just, oh, prepaid. I already prepaid. I had Jesus pay for that. Oh, why'd you do that? This is not there's no reason. Why did you love me unconditionally? You should have just scrapped me and created some new angels or something. Fix up, what the other angels goofed up on, But he didn't. He actually stuck with me. It's like, that is amazing to me. I will forever be grateful every single day because of what Jesus did for me. I don't care about anybody, what they think. I'm happy. I'm completely happy. Hallelujah. And nobody can make me happier. I'm totally happy. And nobody can encourage me or exhort me. I'm just happy. I'm staying that way. So you can try to depress me all you want. I'm not depressed. I don't have any control over anybody, and I don't want it. I don't want any control over anybody. I just dish out the word. It's kind of like seed. Just throw it out. If people like it, praise God. If they don't like it, praise God. It doesn't matter to me. There's no skin off my nose. It doesn't hurt me that people hate me or despise me or admire me. I don't care about any of that because I'm not a God and I'm not going to be a God. I think most ministers are God-like. Not all of them. But I think a lot of ministers are thinking they're special. I dream about these guys, actually, in my dreams. I recognize them and so on and so forth. And I'm not mad at them for doing that. They're just doing what they're doing. But I don't think it's Christianity. I just don't think that's Christianity, is to be a top person, you know, a great person, or, you know, mightily used of God. I don't think anything I've ever done is mightily. I think everything I've done is total failure, and I'm just, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me and loving me, a jerk, a complete idiot, a complete, you know. I could be more careful like other people, but I'm not going to be more careful. I'm just being me, an idiot person. So, sorry. You can go to another church where they have a better person. But I'm not giving up my clumsiness and my ridiculousness. I'm keeping it all because Jesus loves me, not because of my behavior, but because of His.
Amen.
The only reason, Cynthia, that Jesus loves me is because He's an idiot. I don't know why He loves me. He loves me for no reason, because I'm a contradiction even to myself. You know, I have standards, but I never keep them. Did everybody ever have a standard that you made up? You just invented it. But you can't even keep the ones you make up. You know, I will be sincere. I love that. I will be sincere. I think I'm more sincere than you are. I just think that's funny. And people are more sincere than I am. I don't believe that. I believe you're as wicked as I am. I believe everybody is. So I don't analyze that, and I don't apologize to people that despise me, you know, ignore me or whatever. It's okay. Just do what you do. Do what you do.
Amen.
It doesn't bother me. I'm just even telling you what you're doing is not wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's not Christianity. What you're doing is not Christianity. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying what you're doing. You better repent of that. You better change your mind and try to... I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's not Christianity. When Christianity is, everything is Jesus. Jesus does everything. And He said, I didn't even do it. The Father who dwells in me doeth. So I believe that. I believe Jesus has a Father and He's on assignment. But as God, He can do something. But as man, He can't do anything. As Son of Man, He's under, you know, He's under sin and death. He's under the same law we're under, and that's why He died, and that's why He rose again. So, are you all following all that? There's a place I am, and I've lost it. I've lost it. Here we are. So, chapter 5. And I saw on the right hand of the one sitting on the throne a scroll, having been written within and on the back, having been sealed with 7 seals. This is the whole future. I like a God that knows more than I know, that knows everything about everything, about everything. And He knows where you're going to go in 5 years. He knows everything. And so He has all these secrets in His head. And the only thing you're responsible for is the secrets that are revealed in this book. You're not responsible for anything He secretly knows that you don't know. For example, He can examine a heart. You can't examine your heart. You don't even know who your heart is. Nobody knows. It's down in your gut, but you can't really locate it in a physical. It's not a physical thing. There's just something in your gut that tells you that my bowels of mercy reach out to people with hatred or with love. It can be either. But those bowels of mercy just suddenly, oh, I haven't seen you for years. It's such a joy. Or, I always hated you. I wish you wouldn't be in my life right now. And that same bowels of mercy are right there. Have you ever noticed people in hospitals? I go there a lot. Since I go there, I notice people that are nice before they got into the hospital get really mean. I mean mean. And say things horrible. Now, we like it when grandmother doesn't change and so on and so forth. But I'll tell you, people get on medicines and so on and so forth. You do weird stuff. You do weird stuff. It's like you... I'm not going to explain. But anyway, you do weird stuff. And I saw a strong angel. This is John. John, the revelator who wrote it down from the angel, who wrote it down from Jesus, who wrote it down from the Father. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a great voice. That means it was really loud. Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loosen its seals. So this angel, he's looking up into heaven. This is John looking up into heaven, and the door's open. Open door. He can see everything in the heaven. And this is a vision. It's not a human thing. It's just a vision. And he sees this great angel saying, who is worthy on earth to open the scrolls? And there's only one, because there's only one between God and you. Jesus. Fifth verse of one of the epistles. It's the fifth verse right in there that says there's no mediator between you and God except the man Jesus. And it says it this way in the Greek. Except even one God. So there's no one except this even one. So that's Jesus. So Jesus is that one that only hears the Father and shares what the Father. So he's on the Father's side to have holiness on earth, and he's on the devil's side to judge all your sins in you as Christians. Even as Christians, he's still judging the sins. He's looking at those seven lampstands, 2,000 years of them, and now we're past those, only we're not past the last one. The last one has to go all the way until the time of the Gentiles is at an end. And that's after the 1,000 years. So he's not only 1,260 years for the Antichrist, and then 1,000 years after that. But then after that, it's still time. There's still time in time. So the 70th week of Daniel... chapter 9, verse 27, that 70th week began with Jesus 3.5 years, ends with that same period of time, but it keeps going all the way until the Gentiles completely wiped out. And not only the beast and the false prophet are in the lake of fire, but even Satan, who tried to come up in heaven and conquer us, within 1 hour, he's done. Father had just breathed out of heaven fire on him, and he's destroyed, and then they send the devil down into the lake of fire to join his two friends. And so they've already killed off the whore. So what I'm telling you is really not the normal thing here in church, but it's you got to know this, otherwise you'll be nervous about the future. You have to know it's in the Bible, and you have to know what all these things are. They're scary. And they scare the bejeebies out of you, or whatever that is. And they scare something out of you that you're too arrogant, you are too proud, you are too strong. You need to yield yourself before God. And I did it. I didn't do it because he forced me to. I did it because I read the Bible. This strong angel, who's worthy, and no one in heaven was able to open the scroll nor to see it. So nobody knew the future. Everybody in this world wants to know the future. I don't care what it's about. Economics, politics. Everybody wants to know the future. They want to be able to count on something, security. But nobody knows it except God. And whatever he reveals, that's what's in this book. And the whole scriptures is all about the future. It's not. You know why? You know why? Why is it all about the future? Why is it all about the future? It's not what's happened so far. None of what's happened so far. No, this is all about the future. Why is it?
Because Jesus is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years.
Yes. Not only that, but even more. But yes, it's all about the righteous. It's all about those who are now what God originally intended when he created you in the first place is to be righteous on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. We're done-ing it. This is the done right down here. But we can't do it. So Jesus does it for us. That counts. Anyway, so now he wanted you to be righteous, and you will be. And everybody here in the sound of my voice is going to be pure. You're going to be completely Christian, and you had nothing to do with it. I don't know why that really blesses me. Because I don't have a decent bone in my body. I don't have one virtue in me. I have none. I'm cold, I'm nasty, and so on and so forth. But because of Jesus, I'm okay. Because of my faith that he, that God, who knows everything and has everything and so on, he likes me. It's just written down in the book. I only believe it because it's written down in the book that he likes me. And I'm in. And everybody's in. Did you know that there's nobody excluded? No human being is excluded. I desire not the death of any sinner, he said. Well, that means everybody's included. Even Daimler and, you know, all these bad people, they're in there too. Because he paid for them. And I pray for them. Time to go.
It's a quarter after.
I barely got into it. This is okay. I'm going to show you that Jesus is the guy that opened the books. So, and I wept very much because no one worthy was found to open and to read the scroll, nor even to see it. He couldn't because he had to open one of those seals. And one of the elders said to me, "Don't weep. Behold, the lion, being of the tribe of Judah." The root of David. Now he's the root. I thought Jesus was his ancestor. He was the ancestor. But no, actually this one is the root of David. So he's not only the ancestor of David later, but he is now even before him. Overcame, the one that's the root of David, Jesus, overcame so as to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. So, now the next thing is going to be these seven seals. The first one, the second one, the third one, the fourth one, and then there's three more left after that. And then there's the seven vials and so on, trumpets and all this stuff. This is so weird that's why I don't blame people for not reading the book of Revelation. So if you've never read it, you're smart. Don't read it, because you'll get mixed up. You'll think that all the wrath is for you. It's not. It's not for anybody here. There's no wrath for you. He'll never, ever, ever, ever bring wrath on you, because you're a believer. If you believe that Jesus likes you, is on your side, wants to marry you someday, then, and that's weird, but it actually is true that God's always wanted to marry his people, and he's not interested just in himself because he's married to Israel, and even divorced her, but he can redo it. But Jesus and he's the Lamb, the Lamb and his bride, we're the bride. We're going to be the bride. So that's my future. Wow, I'm going to be the bride. I don't even know what a bride is. I've never been a bride. Has anybody here ever been a bride? You know, it sometimes works out great if you're a Christian. I don't think it works out great if you're not. I don't think so. I think people tolerate one another. They have mistresses on the side and all that kind of stuff. But nobody really, unless you're a Christian, you're not a new creation. You're not one of us. Meaning, born again, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit. And so this thing, he begins to open these seals and explains the whole of earth from now until the new heaven and the new earth. Now, since nobody is prepared for that, I don't think even Christians are prepared for that. They don't even know what that is. That you're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, nothing like this earth. That one will be burned up forever. None of the wicked will make it in. And none of the wicked will make it in. They will forever be excluded. So the wise virgins, that's us. The wise virgins, what makes you wise is that you know, don't do anything. Let Jesus do everything. Let Jesus just do it. That's powerful. That's powerful. It's too powerful not to save everybody, not to be nice, not to be a people pleaser, not to try to please anybody, because I've never met anybody that ever pleased anybody that they said they were pleasing. I never met such a person. Because, you know, you can't please your parents, you can't please your pastor, you can't please anybody, really. And so just take care of yourself. You're all on your own. You know, so, I mean, I hope, Cynthia, you don't trust Raul. Because he's not God. I mean, that, he's good, but he's not good. But he's not at all, really. He's totally unreliable. You never know when he's going to flip out, you know. You don't know that. You don't know that. And, but, I think he's perfect. I think he's perfect. I hope you agree with me. He's perfect. Because even though he was horrible, he's now nice. But it's Jesus. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. So these scrolls that he's going to open up, they tell you the whole future. Nothing is left out. Nothing is left out. And it's all here in the book of Revelation. And it's in the Old Testament where all the clues are. They're all hidden. So I think you'll be blessed to hear what happens when he opens the scrolls, because this guy said, don't worship me who's showing you these things, just worship God. Just don't look to me. I'm just saying what the God wanted to say. And these angels, two-thirds of the angels stayed in heaven. They just love you, and they don't get any credit for it. They don't even get to marry Jesus later. We do. We're going to actually be in the family. Angels are never in the family. They're servants in the house of God. So, poor angel. You know, they do all this work, and it's just voluntary, and they don't get any reward for it except to be around God. But we are actually going to marry Jesus. And we're going to be his wife, and we're in on all the details. We're in on everything that goes on in that family. So I think that's cool. All right. You have any questions? Yes?
Why does he weep?
Why did he weep? Because he thought somebody in heaven, surely they're all angels and nice people, he thought one of the angels could do it. Because they're nice. They haven't sinned. And they don't plan to. And they're kept there because of that. But no one was worthy because they hadn't died for the people. They hadn't come on earth as Savior. They weren't in between God and us. They were messengers, but they had just an assignment. But it's just performance, 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 meaning, even though they love God, the point is that the angels aren't going to marry Jesus. They're not in the top spot. We are. We're going to know everything about God. Angels will not. We're going to know everything about everything about everything, because we're his secret partners. We're his stewards. We're his ones that actually account to him someday. So that's why. So when you meet an angel, don't ask them a lot of questions, because they may not know everything. All they know is what God tells them. They just do what they're told. They just do what they're told. And they'll serve you. You can ask an angel. You know, they serve you. They watch over you. So, they call them guardian angels, whatever. But whatever they are, they're serving you. And all you got to do is ask them. So, but you're really asking God. You're really asking God. An angel of the Lord is someone that manifests not you themselves, but manifests the Lord. the summit. And we're the same. All right.